There's people. Okay. Yes, let's review what we did so far. Yesterday we stopped in the middle of the sugya on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis. Today's daf is Chet. I mean, Tzadik Ches. Sorry, we wouldn't want to discuss chat rooms.
Discuss what?
Tzadik Ches. Chat. That's how you spell chat rooms
in Hebrew.
Tzadik Ches. Remember. At least you'll always remember Boker Or.
Boker Or.
So you're back on Tzadik Ches. We're on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis. And because we went into the sugya of the construction of the crushing, the shape of the crushing, and we easily went into that because we wanted to talk about the way in which they were positioned on the Argalot, the reason we went into that was because we wanted to talk about whether Rishut HaRabim Mikora is Rishut HaRabim, and that would depend on whether the crushim jutted out or whether there was an area between them in which you could walk without having a roof over your head. We ended up also discussing the differences when you put the Mishkan together between the approaches of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. We found yesterday we're cholek as to whether on edge the Krashim looked like right triangles or something like it, anyway, maybe straight on the bottom and then they formed a triangle, or whether they were actually rectangular and all the way up to the top. The difference was that if you held, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they were triangular shaped, approximately like this, one approach. Tosfos says it's not exactly like that, probably, but in any event, if it's like this, then you use up less material of the yiriyot on top, because you have a diagonal instead of going across an extra tefach on the roof and then having to come down. The result was that the first layer of the Mishkan, which was made, and this was the yiriyot that were woven out of the Chelet, Argaman, and Sheshem, and so forth, these things came down, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all the way up to one amma from the ground. Right? So you had the one tefach from the... No, one amma, I'm not talking about one amma, I kept saying tefach. One amma from the ground, and then an amma above instead of an etcha. So you gain an extra amma on the diagonal, almost. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it came down all the way up to the brichim, which is the bottom amma on either side. Very simply, because the floor space of the Mishkan was 10 amas in width, you didn't have to worry about an extra amma to cover the edge, which left you 18 amas left, subtracted 10 from the 28 in the length of the yiriyot. 18 divided by 2 gives you 9 on each side. The height of the krashim was 10, which means that the bottom amma, plus a little bit more, was uncovered. But that was covered anyway by the silver of the adonim, which covered the bottom, where there were the little pegs where it had been cut away. Plugged it into the aden, 2 adonim per teresh. And so what you had was basically a construction of silver on the bottom, and the rest was covered with the yiriyot. Whereas according to Rabbi Nachman, who held that, no, you're going to need to take off an amma on one side and an amma on the other side for the thickness of the roof. Forget about the 10 ammas, but overall the top of the Mishkan was 12 ammas, because after all it was a rectangle, the keresh. So then you end up not only with the silver exposed, but with the legs exposed, so to speak, the bottom of the leg, one amma up above the aden. So this is where we got up to, and this, of course, was only the first layer of covering in the Mishkan. And we got up to the second layer yesterday, and so we're up to the Asita Yiriyot Izim. The Asita Yiriyot Izim is 5 lines down from the beginning of those big lines on Amud Beis. So there the Torah continues on to say, the Asita Yiriyot Izim La'ohel Al HaMishkan. In this case, there were not Eser Yiriyot, they were Ashtei Eser Yiriyot. Ashtei Eser Yiriyot means 11. That Ayin takes the Shtei Esrei and is called in the Zohar an Ayin Ra, because it detracts from the Shtei Esrei and makes it 11, curiously enough. So Ashtei Eser Yiriyot, the 11 Yiriyot you now have, each one of them, Orach HaYiriyah HaAchat, Shloshim Ba'ama, which means that it was 2 Amot longer than the first cover, and Rochav Arba Ba'ama, which means that the total of both sets of these coverings would be 11 times 4 instead of 10 times 4. Last time it was 10 yiriyot of 28 by 4, which gave us 28 by 40. This is 11 yiriyot of 30 by 4, which gives us 30 by 44. So this is significantly larger. We now have an amma extra on each side. And clearly what's going to happen now will depend on the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the extra amma now will cover the Mishkan all the way to the ground, just about, right? Except for the little bit that's lost on the diagonal. That etz balamala and then the diagonal coming down. So now it's almost all covered. And according to Rabbi Nachman, who said, no, you lost two ammas, one on either side. According to him, we now finally get down to the silver. And we can cover up that extra amma. So that's as far as the sides are concerned, and we'll get to the back in a moment. So what you do is shadi or chayal or putyin mishkan, take the length of this yiriyah, stretch it now over the width of the mishkan, which is of course how we did it, because the width we're calling the 4, and the length is the 28. Okay, kama havik latin, we start with 30. Dal eser leigra, take 10 off. Pashlo eser laigis veser laigis. You're now left with 10 and 10 on either side, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, well, that covers the whole side, right? Mechasi amada adanim. At this point, we cover the silver. According to Nehemiah, we can now get up to the adanim, because we were two amas up from the ground before, and now we have that extra arm on either side on top of the thickness of these of the wall, which brings us up to one arm above the adanim, and megalia, one arm above the bottom of the carriage, which brings us to the top of the adanim, but megalia amad adanim, we never cover the silver with the second layer. Tanya nami hachi, ve'ama mizeh ba'odeth. So too, there's a brisa that discusses a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah, which confirms our understanding of their understanding, because what it says in this pasuk, ve'ama mizeh ba'odeth, ba'orech yiriyot ha'oel, yes, so ruach of sidei hamishkan mizeh umizeh lachasoto. Now, so the Torah says beferish, the extra armor that you're getting out of the 30 on either side, as opposed to the 28, which should be used to cover what had been left uncovered. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what does that mean? Lechasot amash al adanim, did Rabbi Yehuda, which is consistent with how we understood it. So it works out really very well. It's good to have this confirmation, as we were saying, undoubtedly they would have to argue about this, and indeed we do find that they argue. Rabbi Nehemiah says that extra amma is v'chasot amma shel krashim. It's to cover the uncovered keresh, but it only touches the top of the aden. The silver was left uncovered, according to him.
The aden is already covered.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Beautiful. Shani putayel. Okay, now let's talk about the thickness multiplied by 11, which is now going down the length of the Mishkan. All right, kama havi. Arba'im v'arba. We have 4 times 11 equals 44. The floor space in the Mishkan was 30 amas long. So dal latin le'igra. Got to take off 30 amas. Pashulahu arbasre. So you're now left with 14 amas. So that's a little bit too long, because even according to Rabbi Nehemiah, in the back of the Mishkan, even if you include the extra amma of the wall to the back, you still only have a total of 11. Here we've got 14. What are we going to do with that extra? Well, first of all, you're forgetting it. Dal tarte lekafla. Half of a yiriyah, in other words, two amot, need here to be bent over the top of the Mishkan as you face it. Because there it says, Beferush v'chafalta et ha-yiriyah ha-shishit. That extra yiriyah that had been added to the Seder of the 5 yiriyot above and beyond the original yiriyot. So it says, Beferush, take that and bend it over. V'chafalta et ha-yiriyah ha-shishit. Take it and bend it over el mul pnei ha-ohel. It should cover over the front of the ohel. Now this was again using the ohel, as we'll see, as a female walking with her dress dragging behind. This is the veil. And this hangs down above the top of the face of the Mishkan.
Hangs over or bends on itself?
No, hangs over. Hangs over. A pnei, it hangs over the front. Okay, so we're left, if that's the case, we have to take off two. 13. What's that?
Two amas.
Okay, so before we worry about the roof, that leaves us 12. Okay? Total of 12. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes sense because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have an extra two full amot. Because we can effectively ignore that etzva of the thickness of the top of the keresh. Ah, that explains why the pasuk continues by saying, V'serach ha'odef b'yiriyah to'oel, chatzi ha'yiriyah ha'odefet, tisrach al'achorei ha'mishkan. That's interesting. Chatzi ha'yiriyah ha'odefet, tisrach, meaning we've got exactly half of a yiriyah left, which is two amos, which will now be saruach, will be dragging, behind the Mishkan. But that only works out according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we took off 10 and we're left with 2, and 2 is a half of a yiriyah. But according to Rabbi Nachman, oh, wait a second, we lost an ama in the roof, because we had to, of the roof, because we had to go over an extra ama of the back wall, which according to him was a full ama thick on top. Why is it say chatziya yiriyah? It wasn't chatziya yiriyah. It was a single ama, and only a single ama that you should be tisrach alachorei ha-mishkan. So what is that supposed to mean? So my tisrach. Tisrach, that tisrach means beyond what was there before. It doesn't mean tisrach on the ground, meaning it should extend downwards behind the mishkan of chatziya, which is exactly what happens. There's still two amas extra above and beyond what was in the previous one. That's unavoidable. We had an extra full yiriyah. I don't care how you work it out, extra full yiriyah. Half of which is put on the front, so half of which is dragging down in the back. What that dragging down does it cover partially the other and partially go on the ground? That's not my business, and that's not what the fuss was coming to address. It was simply pointing out, I told you to take 6 instead of 5 on one of the chovrot. Fine, what do you do with it? Half of it goes in the front, and half of it is hanging down in the back, beyond the other one. And then you'll figure out what to do with it.
And then you still have one arm of which would be on
the right, but where is that? That's not the point that the Torah is coming to address. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, l'man mishkan doma, l'isha shemahalechet b'shuk. You have to see the mishkan, because remember the essence of the mishkan is to give over a sense of warmth. That's the whole point. Hayiti mithalech ba'olam b'mishkan. The essence of the mishkan is the fact that it's portable. And that's why the oren, which is central to the meaning of the mishkan, remember the Beis Hamikdash, you don't need an oren. A mishkan is made for the oren. That's its whole point. So the oel, which is built around the oren keeps in its walking ability at all times. Somebody who removes the badim from the oron is over on one of the tayag mitzvahs. It's an issur d'oraisa, lav d'oraisa, to remove those badim. Unfortunately, people do that all the time. Right? Oh, people think that the Torah is meant to stand still. It's essentially removing the body from the oren. The whole point of the oren is that it's meant to be mahalekah, that's halakha itself. It's what it walks. So the mishkan, which is built around it, is meant to be a mitalek. Therefore, if you're looking at the mishkan, you actually are meant to get a sensation of movement. So you're looking at a woman with her dress going behind her, so she's obviously walking. The dress is getting caught on the ground, so to speak. And this is the whole sense of the dynamic nature of a mishkan that's mishalech. Tana Rabbanan, if you take a look at the way the krashim were made, clearly, charutzim hayu hakrashim. The krashim were... what happened to that? Don't tell me after I printed that up. I left it behind. I made you that nice picture. No. Of course tell me. What else? Do we have a picture here? Yes, here we go. Okay, so charutzim, since you have to create a peg-like effect at the bottom of the keresh in order to fit into the two adadim, you're only going to be able to get the peg if you cut the wood around it. So charutz, meaning through the middle and through the edges to create a peg. And then the Aden, each Aden fit on one peg, and you had two Adanim at the bottom of each one of these crushing. Fit into the Aden.
So you're saying that the
bottom
of the carriage
has two pegs on the end, one on each side? One on each side.
And then the
Ad
should be in the middle with
no, one in the middle. No, there would be two Adanim along the entire length. I would cover here. This is what it would look like when the Adanim were on. Those are the two Adanim. So the pegs were offset to allow the Adan to fit and then cover entirely the bottom.
Just rest on the ground?
I'll never rest on the ground. What do you mean this is a, single oven?
Yes, that's the bottom, of the carriage.
What do you mean? No, this is completely wrong. No, really, this is fundamentally wrong. I don't understand what they're trying to do.
The bottom of the carriage.
What?
Has the
yeah, but he has a single Aden with two holes. There was no such animal.
Well, it was, but it fit in alternate.
Silver thing has one hole.
Isn't it?
It
was
two. No,
there was two holes in the Aden and two pigs on the carriage.
No, the number of Adanim were double the number of Prashim. This is the correct picture. Yeah. I don't see how you can do it any other way. Okay. So then Chalulim Hayu Ha'adanim, obviously you had to have now a hole in the middle of the Aden in order to establish the space for the peg to fit into the Aden. V'nir'in Krashim B'lula'ot, and now on a separate. No, I mean, this is really outrageous. It's not just wrong. I mean, it's totally crazy. I mean, the whole point of the analysis in the parsha was that it was the Ma'at Adanim, Kikar La'adan. It was the whole idea was to build it around the double Adan. I have no idea what in the world the illustrator is thinking of over there. Well, this is a fascinating thing. I mean, the real nature over here is Nikevat Sovev Geber, Kabbalistically speaking. The Aden is female, the pegs are male. This is reflected in the third Beit HaMikdash with the entire Ezrat Nashim surrounding the Ezrat Anashim, Ezrat Yisrael, which becomes the equivalent of the Aden around the peg, right? But Lamaisa, surprisingly, in terms of the Tikkun of the Mishkan, it's the Nekeva that's the Aden. The master of the Mishkan is essentially Nekeva. That's why it describes her now as an Isha. That's Holechet. Because the whole idea of a Mishkan as a Bayit is obviously Nekeva oriented. It has to be feminine. Only the female creates Bayit. So this is an essential part of the whole Tikkun of the Ego. Remember the Mishkan comes as a tikkun of the Egel. The Egel is fundamentally male worship, which is why none of the girls got involved at all. That was there was no gezeir, there was no kilkel of the Noshim. They were given Rosh Chodesh because of the fact that they hadn't fallen for these various male masculine things throughout. But basically, the Egel is a Grecian kind of view. It's not. It comes very much from outside. It's completely male. So we talk about bringing your son to the Baal is Agalot Yishakun. So it entirely a vision of the maleness with its freedom and with its shooting out over the world and so on and so forth. So the idea of the Mishkan is the provision of Bayit, which is why that which takes the place of the Egel inside the Mishkan is Davka, the Kruvim, which are male, but are also female. You need to have a male and a female. That was the union of the Kruv. That's the whole union of the Shekhinah will not appear unless there's a female joined to a male. You can't create a masculine imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this became now, the whole idea of the Adanim was to establish the Tevet HaSoved Gever, which isn't expressed socially and mentally and so on until the third Beit HaMikdash. But you can clearly see in society as a whole this development and the change at which needs to be a tikkun for the Gan Eden itself, which is the Huyim Shalbach, that ends up gradually becoming part of the simple view of how society develops, grows into its expression in the third Beit HaMikdash. But anyway, that's only because you asked. It's your fault. Tana Rabbanan. Yiriyot HaTachtonot. That's interesting that the lower Yiriyot appear to be much more sophisticated in terms of how they were made. I mean, they were Tchelet, Argaman, Tolat Shani, Sheish. Did I skip something? I skipped that first line. On another note, V'nir'in krasin belula'ot kekochavim berakia. That when you put the buttons, these are like peg buttons, that would go through the loops at the edge of the machborot of the Yiriyot, when you would look up, the metal would shine and look like stars in the heavens. Okay, but it has nothing to do with the Adonim or with the crushing. Tun Rabban, Yiriyot HaTachtonot, the lower Yiriyot, which appear to be very difficult to make, Tehlet HaGaman, Talat Shani, Sheish, the Elyonot, I mean, that's the simplest thing. I mean, it's a Maseizim. Maseizim is a very low quality. I mean, it seems to be like just a protective canvas or something or other. And yet, strangely enough, Gdolah Chochma, Shenemra be'Elyonot Yoter Mimar Shenemra be'Tachtonot. If you take a look at the Pasuk, it's clear that it was more difficult to make the upper layer than to make the lower layer. Because by the Tachtonot it says, V'chol isha chachmat lev biyadeha tavu, and so on. And there it says, V'yaviyu matveh atzchelet argaman tolat ha-shadim ha-shesh, and so on. Ma'ashen ken v'ilu be'elyonot k'tiv. Instead of simply saying, V'chol isha chachmat lev, it said, V'chol ha-nashim asher nasal libano tana be'chokma, which is obviously a higher darga to be lifted up into chokma by your heart. How could that be? Well, note what it says, Tavu et ha'izim. That means, Tanim Shomer B'Nechemia, indeed, Tavu et ha'izim. Shatuf b'izim, v'tavu min ha'izim. The material was formed into a thread on the A's. So that when you were making the Yiriyot izim, it was almost as if you had lifted the animals themselves to be on the Mishkan. Obviously, you cut it off of their skin, and yet it needed to be made directly from the animal while it was still on it. So it was washed, so to speak, bleached and twisted while it was attached to the A's. Now, obviously, the idea over here is with all of the materials is the extent at which the material reflects its source and. Same as the Inyonim of the Tchelas. In a sense, the A's was as much connected to its formation here, the Yiriyot HaZim, as the Tchelet was, which was the height of the other things, and it was only in coloration. You know, and yet its source is meant to be so fundamental. Shtei Gezus Tra'ot, getting back to our mission, remember we were talking about Hotza'ah. Now, these two Gezus Tra'ot, which are thrown in here, are basically irrelevant to our sugya, except for the fact, I don't want to bring it in, we're actually getting back to our favorite topic, which is the Yagalot. We bring it in over here because we're going to define the width of the Rishut HaRabim and the length of the Rishut, so we mention it, but the fact is we need to deal with this issue anyway. Because we're going back to discuss what we sort of left open yesterday, and as our president asked yesterday, what exactly are the tzideim, or what are the tachteim, or what are the neim? Today we're going to go into this brighter. Omer Rav Mishum Abichia, Agalot tachteihem uveinehem v'tzideihem Rishut HaRabim. We said yesterday that beneath the agalot, which turned out to be an agala of girder that had no flat bed in it at all, and that had spaces that were left uncovered, that area in between them was a Rishut HaRabim. Under them, I mean, was Rishut HaRabim. Ubenehem, between the two wagons as they were traveling side by side. And not only that, but even Sidehem, which would be the distance between the wheel and the body of the Agala itself, even that was all Reshut HaRabim. Now, let's try to understand this. Before we try to understand it, we need to zero in a little bit better on the shape of the Agala, because I've been very simplistic until now. The truth is, there is very important machlokas about how to understand this also. Actually, the idea of the five Ama Agala, so on and so forth, is really supported only by Tosaf Shita. Rav Shita is that each Agala, the bed of the Agala itself, is only 2.5 Amas, and an additional 1.25 Ama for the wheel assembly on each side, which gives you another 2.5 Amas, so that the total, including the wheels, is 5 Amas. Okay? Not as we described it yesterday. Tarsus, however, has a very different way of looking at the whole circuit. He doesn't like the idea of the Krashim being unsupported at all. In other words, because even the way that we had extended it yesterday, which is an extension of Tosafot Shita, to have the Krashim at least not going over the wheel assemblies, is insufficient for Tosafot. So therefore, Tosafot says, look, clearly what they did was, this was a double truck. It was not a single truck. They took two agalot, connected them together. By connecting two agalot together, remaining with the remaining wheel assemblies in the middle to provide support, you had four wheels, and this was basically one of these 18-wheel riggers, you know.
Wait, one behind the other.
No, next to each other. And two units like this next to each other, so that the four agalot became two. So what you really had, accepting the pshat that the actual girder area was only 2.5 amas, you had really a full 10 amas to cover the entire carriage, except that in the middle there was a wheel assembly. But who cares about the middle? The point is, the carriage, if you imagine the two wagons side by side, joined permanently with a long board on each side, the carriage would go from the edge of the girder work on one, 2.5 amas, cross the wheel assembly of one, 2.5 amas, which according to us is not full 2.5 amas, each wheel, not 1.25 like Rashi. The next wheel assembly, 2.5, that's 5, 2.5 plus 5, would then continue on to 2.5 of the other girder assembly till the edge, so that it was fully supported by girders, and in the middle was held up by a very thick wheel assembly of four wheels. Now this makes a lot more sense, Dionysius. We're going to have something of this enormous weight piled up like this, sitting around, teetering on the edge of something going over sand dunes in the Mishkan. It's ridiculous. It's got to be that it was made in a way that would be supportive of the crushing.
Are we saying that the Amnei Kavod, or talk
supernatural? But we don't talk supernaturally. The whole point of the Mishkan is that it's meant to work. So that's the only way to make it work. That must have been the way that they did it. So he, therefore, because it will have a completely different approach to the sugya. So it's important now, we'll take these two, there's other approaches. We'll take these two basic approaches for the Agala. Either Rashi's half-size Agalot, essentially, compared to what we were talking about yesterday, in which a single Agala is only 2.5, and a wheel assembly is only 1.25, literally half of what we were talking about. And we'll also take Tosis's approach, in which we have basically the full 10 amas, and indeed each wheel assembly is 2.5 amas, which really would leave, if there were a single Agala, would leave us with 7.5 amas for each fully complete Agala. The entire setup was 15 amas across. The 15 amas across, and of course this is fundamentally important, one of the main reasons we're doing this, is because we're trying to figure out where you get 16 amas in a Rishis Sarabim, which is how all is according to Rashi. There's everything is just, I mean, why the heck would we do it that way to get 16 amas? Not to mention the fact that according to Rashi, as Tosis points out, if you have two separate assemblies and you've got 10 amas of Krashim lengthwise across two agalot, that means that as these agalot are driving down the street, they're knocking down everything on the side of the edges, which is really quite a wonderful way to design a thing like this. Right? When we were imagining a machane, and you've got these trucks driving down with the Mishkan, and everybody's yelling, "Get out of the way!" And it goes, everybody, what's the meaning of such a thing? Everybody ducking. How could we define a Rishis HaRabim in such a funny way? It's a very good point. According to him, you have at least 20 amas there, because you've got two sets of 10 krashim, plus whatever distance you need in between it. We'll see, we need it, of course, to protect. What's that? No, but they have to continue from the middle on front, on, up front, before everybody else moved.
They
led the... Yeah, right? And the other, all the other people, I mean, depending on how you understand the, you know, that it goes, but... They didn't literally lead, but depending if, you know, if the whole machane then joined up in the shape of a keresh, instead of a, it's a machlokus, whether it became now a line or whether it just walked as they were. But no matter what, I mean, we understand that the meaning of an agalah and understanding the nature of Rishis HaRabim is that it's meant to drive down Rishis HaRabim. Even if you can connect logistically a situation in which only midgets lived in the edges, and were, or they never drove the agalot until everybody had already moved, or whatever you want to say, I mean, but it's, as a model, it's absurd. So therefore, Tosis, of course, there's only one set that we would do like this, right? Okay. So, taking this in mind, so let's go back now to Rashi's pshat. Oh, Rabbi, Bein agalah la'agalah, ki male erech agalah, orech agalah, v'kama orech agalah, chabesh amot. So the total space between one wagon and the other wagon would be the equivalent of the length of each wagon. Okay. So how much was the length of each wagon? Chabesh amot, as we already analyzed, this everybody agrees to. Because that's the only way to understand the sugya earlier. Huh? The only way to understand the sugya earlier, I mean, now that you're a movie star, don't you think that you've... I know, I've been seeing movies about you all over the place. Something about sponges and bobs and...
Oh, my God. And building.
So we have the two sets of the krashim balanced within that five. Everybody's moaned about that five. So that length, okay, that's a given. But what we're saying over here, between the agalah and the one next to it, was also five amas. The first question we have is, why was the agalah five amas? Forget about our statement. Let's talk about what the statement was based on, namely that the length of an agalah was five amas. Why do you need five amas? What would we need five amas for? I mean, we could certainly, under any circumstances, we should be able to get along perfectly well. The arba upalga sagi would be enough to have only four and a half, and that would be fine. Now, we don't really need four and a half, do we? Because what we came out with yesterday is that we're going to put them not flat, we're going to put them on their edges. Right? So we put them on their edges, we add an additional ama in between. Okay. So, I mean, we don't even need four and a half, I would think. What do we need four and a half? Okay, but look, I mean, the truth is, even the way we're doing it, you want to have space for the brifim that are sticking out, that are batim labadim. Okay, but if I have four and a half, that would be fine. I mean, it would be enough space to protect the krashim from movement toward the brichim. So, okay, the tabaot would also be protected. Why do I need five? What does this mean? Rashi has a very strange explanation. Why would they be leetzukim? Gentlemen, are we here? Do we have a good picture of this in our minds? Okay. There is a picture? This is Tosis, though. And this is Tosis's shot. Is there another picture? By the way, this is a very nice picture of Tosis' approach. Right here on the top of your page, Yud Beit. So you have your... Well, you've got it there in the north, but it's the same idea. So these were the two agalot side by side with the krashim going from one end to the other. See? Mm-hmm. Double wheel assembly in the middle, one wheel on each side.
And these were joined? This
yes,
made?
That's what that large thing is. I have no idea, you know, why it's sticking out like that and why the wheel is... I mean, this is not really all that accurate, but... But let's pretend it's accurate. I don't know why it's so difficult to get a simple diagram of that. Why you can't make an accurate?
This happened in Kachin too.
What?
In Kachin too, all these pictures of our.
What's that?
In Kachin too, we have the same problem.
In Kachin. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, this is approximately the Tosis approach, right? All that's wrong is the width of the wheel assembly and the fenders. So is there a picture of Rashi here? So that at least we can get this straight. Because no, yeah, this is good. This is Rashi. But to be discussed later, this particular this raises some issues. Yeah, I wish I had graphic skills.
We're basically talking about
a very simple situation in which we have a girder work which is 5 amas long, 2.5 amas wide. Forget about the wheels right now for all intents and purposes. According to Rashi, the krashim were stacked up on their edge. Their edge is 1 ama thick. They were back to back, 2 sets back to back, gives us 4. Obviously, we don't want to only have the 4 and 4. We also have the taba'ot facing each other and so on. We need that extra 0.5 ama. Fine, take the extra 0.5 ama, but why a whole ama? That's our question. Why would we need 5 amas? The Gemara answers so that the krashim don't bump into each other, which bothers Rashi. How the heck would they bump into each other? Remember, according to Rashi, they're set up as a paperclip. That was the whole point, is that they're supporting each other on the edges. Why would they bump into each other? All right, so Rashi says a funny thing. He says they'll bump into each other just in case one day you decide to put the krashim down on their width instead of on their edge. You know, so then they would bump into each other. I mean, you know, which Tosva says, I mean, what was that supposed to mean? Maybe you'll decide one day. For what purposes would we decide one day? Okay, so Tosva just says, look, I mean, the idea is you have something that's extremely heavy. You go over a bump. And they're knocked into each other. We're trying to avoid damage. We have a very expensive building over here. I mean, so what's the problem? So we want extra space. Well, what do you need to come up with such a funny ukimta that maybe we'll set it up in a different way? And we'll see later on that we clearly were concerned about movement of the crushing because we had people that were appointed to walk along the edges to make sure that it was constantly forced back into place so that nothing would fall off eventually. So it's perfectly reasonable. As a matter of fact, the mistake in Peretz Be'uza was treating the Aron the way we treated the Krashim. It wasn't treating it without any respect, but it wasn't treating it like the Aron was supposed to be Hosea's Kohen. But there always were Levium walking at the side to make sure that everything would be all right, as we'll see.
So tying anything down, it was all just piled and pressure kept it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that's why Rashi doesn't like the Tosis thing, but we'll see. There is in the Gemara a concern for the movement. Okay, so what do we need it? Barba pagas agikechalotku krushim. Okay, now let's take a look at the sides. Omer of it, sidei agala kemole rochav agala. According to Rashi, this means the wheel plus the wheel assembly is the thickness of the agala, meaning both wheels and wheel assemblies together equals 2.5 amas, which gives you 1.25 ama for each wheel and its axle. According to Tosfos, this means no. Each side of the agala, the wheel assembly to the edge, the outside edge of the wheel, was 2.5 amas, which would mean that in total, if there were such an animal as a single agala, it would be 7.5 amas wide. But there is no such animal as a single agala, according to Tosfos, because we plug them together anyway, which means that the entire unit was 15 amas wide, because it was comprised of 4 wheel assemblies of 2.5 amas apiece, which gives you 10, plus 2 girder assemblies of 2.5 amas apiece, which is another 5, for a total of 15 amas across, supporting the krashim exactly over the edges of the girder work, and the wheels would then stick out beyond the edges of the krashim on either side, 2.5 amas.
Stack up 24 of these.
Exactly. But you've got a much more secure base. All right. So that's, according to Rava, what it means, major machlokas. The comma, when I say it's the same as the thickness of the agala, what do I mean by the thickness of an agala? Shtei amot v'mechza. Asks the Gemara, and this is fundamental to Tosfos' understanding why he can't stand Rashi's approach. Lumali, why would I need 2.5 amot? Ba'amto palga sagi, would be enough to have an ama and a half. Asks Tosfos, now tell me, what in the world that's supposed to mean according to Rashi? That it makes a great deal of sense to support a 10 ama long keresh. I mean, after all, why would you need so much space in the middle? If you're going to be playing seesaw, heck, you might as well have an axle. Is that the question? Obviously, the wider it is in the middle, the more supportive it's going to be for the keresh. What kind of funny question is this? I mean, the keresh, according to Rashi, is basically wobbling along without any support on the edges, as if it's not bad enough that we only gave it 2.5 in the middle of a 10-arm long thing. The Gemara should come along and say, you can really get along with 1.5. Why? Why could I only get along with 1.5? It should have been just the opposite. Why not make it a little wider in order to get better support? So this is really, really odd. All right, so Rashi has to come along and say that, are you asking maybe we might have to put a carriage down lengthwise one day? You know, just as an emergency to drag it off to the hospital, I suppose, with alarms blaring. But then a carriage is only 1.5 amas, so you'd have it completely supported by 1.5 amas girder work. I say it's really, really problematic. I mean, why would you say this? Okay. So, therefore, okay, so the Gemara answers. So there, I'm sorry, but therefore Tosfos says, of course, that can't be what it means. It's got to be assuming my type of construction, where you've got basic support on all sides, and therefore it's asking why it has to come all the way out to the edge. Understandable. Answers the Gemara, ki hechad lo lidadu krashim. Well, in case you couldn't figure it out, these krashim are going to be loose, and they're going to be swinging up and down on either side if you don't have a broad enough center to support them. According to Tosfos, it means not exactly lididu like a merry-go-round, like a seesaw, but lamaisa lididu, you want them supported by the very edge so that the edge keeps them in place, not that they're sticking over something. And then they're more likely to fall apart. Look, I mean, if you put up a roof rack, you're careful to do the same thing. You don't want things sticking out over the edge, even if they are tied down. It's not, you want it to be supported by the edge of your roof rack. And that's exactly what we did over here. So let me ask you something, says the Gemara. Now that you're saying that this was the construction, so Ella de Kaimalan, Derek Rashutar Abim Shesh Esrei Amma. You're claiming that a Rishus Rabbim has to be 16 amas wide. And we learn everything out of the Mishkan, right? That's where we're learning Otsan Achnosa. Ananda Gamile de Mishkan. You just described, basically, something that is only 15 amas wide. Because whether you're talking about, according to Rashi, that you have two agalot walking side by side, with the Krashim in the middle. Now let's take a look at that picture that you had over there. With the Krashim in the middle, where was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You had that picture. Yes. With the Krashim in the middle, you still, Lechora, from edge to edge of the wheels. Please look at this carefully. Edge to edge from the wheels. Forget about what's sticking out over this side. That's the part that Tosfos is saying he's going to be knocking down the TVs as it's driving. But as far as the road is concerned, the wheels going along the road would only be 15 amos. Because you've got, according to Rashi, 2.5, and 2.5 for the actual body, 2.5 total on each side. Obviously, you have to leave enough room for the krashim that are jutting out 2.5 on each side, because the whole thing is only 5, when the carriage is 10, so that if you have the other 5 balanced between 2.5 on one side of the agala, 2.5 on the other side of the agala, same thing on the other agala, 2.5 here, 2.5 here, that gives you 5 amas between the agalot because of the krashim that is sticking out, 2.5 of the body of the agala, which is covered by keresh, and then you have the additional 2.5, which is comprised of 1.25 and 1.25 on each end because of the wheels. So you're still only talking about 15 amas, not 16 amas. Where do you get the 16 amas from one wheel to the other, because you have a total of 20.
Well, you don't count the space of the krashim, but the shutarabim on the.
Well, that's what Tosfos is standing on Rashi. Exactly. According to the way you're doing, you're saying, let's ignore those krashim sticking out over the edge. I mean, that's really wonderful. Try taking a trailer truck down the street and ignore the krashim sticking on the edge and see where that'll get you in jail. You know, so.
Tosfos, 2 wagons and 1 with the pair, plus the extra.
According to Tosfos, the idea over here is you've got 15 amos in the total structure. If you don't have 2 krashim, you have 1 krashim in the middle of 2 wagons with an additional 2.5 amos of a wheel structure on one side, 2.5 amos of a wheel structure on the other side, driving very comfortably down the street without any problem here at all.
Rashi has 2 side by side.
Whereas Rashi's got 2 side by side. Yeah. But the difference is that Rashi not only has side by side, he's got this oversized board sticking out on either side over people's homes, right? Which doesn't make any sense. That was his time with Tosfos. But according to both Rashi and Tosfos, however we learn, how exactly do you get now 15 amas, as you say? 16 amas. We only have 15 amas.
Put a space in between the two.
What's that?
Put a space in between the two.
So now this again will be a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Answers the Gemara, ama yetera havoi. If you have to allow for an extra ama there, in order that a Ben Levi can have access to that area, if the mishtalfe krashim, if there was any movement of these krashim, then he was able to, having nakitle, he was able to keep them in their place before they would move over. This is why they were called krashim, because any Ben Levi between them was crushed to a pulp. Can you imagine risking your life in between those crushing? Can you see these wagons bumping up and down? The lady sitting over there, they're coming at him from either side. According to Rashi, obviously not according to Tosfos, because there was no in between the two wagons. You know, everything was perfectly balanced. So the only problem, according to Tosfos, would be falling forwards or backwards on the wagon itself. Not falling off of the Tosfos. But he'll have to, well, he says that the idea over here is
a shoulder.
You had a shoulder. And even though a person cannot fit into a half an arm of a shoulder, but if he sees there's a problem, he can simply signal the driver to go over to the side, and he can get on that side. Also, says Tosfos, I mean, undoubtedly he'd stick himself in there. He had a tool. you know, to grab them, you know, a long long pole that would grab them and push them into shape or hold them as a coin fall. So one arm a shoulder would allow you enough wiggle room that when you needed to, you could stick something in the edge and have the wagon pull over a little bit so that you could...
It's a flat tire.
Exactly. There was enough room to have it pull over on the street for you to be able to work on it. We obviously couldn't have a wagon that was all the way up to the edges of the street. That doesn't make any sense.
You'd be a pretty big gun.
A pretty big gun.
Yeah,
you know, or a long pole.
No, I'm saying...
No, not necessarily, because it's the same as if your car starts to roll. In other words, if you realize that you haven't put your brake on, you turn behind you, and it starts to roll, if it hasn't rolled for more than a second, you can stop it. Even though you're a little guy, I mean, but you can still hold that car. It's only once there's some inertia built up. Just say, no, here, you keep your eye on it. You see where it's getting a little bit loose. One of them maybe is moving off. It's already an inch over. You don't want that to happen. So you nudge it. And since the whole thing is moving, it's very open to nudges. So this, so we use the Ben Levi to nudge. חוליית הבור והסלע שהן גבוהים עשרה ורחבן ארבעה הנוטל מהם והנותן על גבן חייב ופחות מכן פטור. Here's an interesting Mishnah that once again does its best to confuse us by creating two separate cases, but where one of the cases has something in it of the other case, just to drive you nuts. Simply speaking, you would say that if you want to explain to somebody that if you've got either a hole in the ground, which is arva amas by tentvach, or if you've got a large rock, which is four amas by tentvach in high, so whether you're talking about a rock or a hole, which is connected to Krushim and the Adonim that we had before, it's the same din. It'll have a din of a Rishus HaYachid, no matter where it is. That's all you need to say. But no, the Mishnah's got to say it in a way that is absolutely maddening, because it talks about not the bor, which is the way to talk about it, but the choliyat habor. The choliyat habor generally means the built-up area that is made from whatever you remove from the hole and built up around the hole, the way generally we surround a well with wood or with stone and so on. Why are you talking about that? You certainly didn't mean from the top. You said on it. You meant from the top of the chuliyah. But that's the same case of the sela. So ignore that part. Just tell me. Bor shu amok asarat vachet. Sela shu gavoa asarat vachet. So I mean, Rebbe's trying to do something over here, which you're going to have to figure out what this means. So I know, tell me, and I know, ten al gaban, and note how it mixes it from them. I mean, not from them. Each one of them is differently. What do you mean, put al-gaban? You don't put al-gaban, you put a bor betochan. I mean, it's confusing. Pachot became, however, it's less than four, and it's less than ten, then you would be put. Ask the Gemara, lama li lamidne chuyata bor vasela? Can you tell me why you did that? Why are you driving us crazy? Just say habor vasela. Oh, this comes to me a tremendous chiddush. Suppose your local space consists of 10 by 4, but from outside it doesn't consist of 10 by 4. You're sitting in a bar. As far as you're concerned, that's your world. There it is, 10 by 4. Nowadays you'd be lucky. Now, if I'm looking at you from the outside, I don't see no 10 by 4. I see like a little 2 foot high, I mean, a 1 foot high wall. Because you got that extra hole down on the bottom that you think it's that deep. The Mishnah is telling you that we define it from its inside. So the bor, because ultimately it is in fact 10 deep, including the chuliyah, doesn't have to be relative to the ground level of Rishut HaRabim. It in fact has mechitza of asara. If you're inside of it, you see a mechitza of asara. That's Rishut HaRabim. Well, whatever. 9 down and 1 up, 5 down, 5 up, however you want to do it. So the bor v'chuyata is mitztarfim la'asara. Tanya Ami'ochi, bor b'rishut harabim, amuka asara, urchava arba'a, ein mimal'in heimena b'shabbat, Ela in ken asulam mechitzot gvohot asarat fachim. You'd have to build around the bar also a mechitza in order to allow the entire area to be within its own reshut hayachid, and then you're not taking out of reshut hayachid into a reshut rabin when you're memale. Even though, and this is important, normally in order to take water out of a bor, you don't need for it to be in reshut hayachid. There is a special construct called pase beraot. And Tosfos is indeed very disturbed. But why do we not simply give you the Pase Beraot construct? Pase Beraot is a different type of mechitza in which the edges of the mechitza define the entire mechitza. In other words, if you take four corner edges, what do you call those? Like the, you know, when you make picture albums, what do they call those? Come on. Oh, come on, guys, don't do this to me. I lose words more and more now. I go crazy. Anything where you put an edging on something. What do you go? No, that.
How many syllables? Sounds like, yeah.
All right, well, whatever.
What materials are made, I think?
Wood, usually. Well, you want to put something around the edge that should have a nice edge.
Molding?
It's close.
Edging.
Yeah. All right, but anyway. So you're talking about a tall, whatever it is.
Cornice.
No good next. Little corner things. And you put these corner things on all four sides. We'll learn all about them in Erevin, their size, what's the minimum size, and so on. Usually that's sufficient to draw from a bar. But as Tosfos explains, there's two important criteria for such a bor that are not met over here. First of all, so he says, which we'll see, it has to be mayim chayim. In other words, it can't just be a cistern, and it has to be public. It can't be private. Over here, you're talking about it's not public. It's not meant for people on the road. You want to carry from it, and it's just storing water. You'd have to have 10 tefachim, real normal mechitza around it to turn it into reshut hayachid. And if you want to drink from it directly, you don't have such a mechitza. In shotim emena b'shabbat, elin ken ichnis lo rosho v'rubo. You can't drink from it by putting your head over it. You'd have to have your head and your body over it, because as we saw before, we are always cautious you're going to end up carrying the cup from reshut hayachid into reshut rabim. And here's the part that's important to us, ubor v'chul yatam mitztarfim la'atzara. And that's the Tanya Nami Haki. The inside of the bar plus the raised area around the bar are mitzarech to this measurement of 10 tefachim.
Going back,
yeah,
all around it. Doesn't have to be
all around it, not in it. Around it and you. Is what it
if
is.
You're inside it.
No. If you're outside it and you want to draw water out of it, then you and the bar together have to be surrounded by your own 10 tefachim mechitza. So that the bar and you are in.
Okay, but the previous words, Elin Kena Samachitza Sarzvachim.
Those are the bits, what I've been talking about.
Right, is including with the Chulia.
Has nothing to do with the Chulia.
So the Mechitza itself has to be a Sarzvachim?
The Mechitza is nowhere near the Chulia. The Mechitza is 50 feet away from the Chulia. You have to surround the bar with a Mechitza that you can stand inside of. Not inside the bar, inside the mechitza. You're creating a yard.
Okay.
With a bar in it.
The yard has to be mechitza, so it's
all. Yeah, that's all. Forget about the bar. Now you don't have to worry about the bar, because whatever the bar is, it's just the reshus hayachid, the inner reshus hayachid, which has no meaning.
And so in which case is the bar before Yosef Mitzarfin Lasara?
Is irrelevant.
But which case was the case?
That's not that case. This is bar before Yosef to describe. And what do we mean by a bar asar tefachim? A bar where the chulia is also included in the measurement of that asarat.
Is this not then
asarat
for him when it's the reshut rabim?
No, that depends. If you will recall the difference between a carmelite and a makom ptur. It's less than asarat, but still has arba'ah, then it's a carmelite. If it doesn't have arba'ah, then it's a makom ptur. If it has precisely nine in the reshut rabim, it becomes part of the reshut rabim, so on and so forth. All of the that we went into at great length in the first part.
It standard means it becomes a reshut
latzma. 10 by 4 is reshut latzma. Borimene Rav Mordechai mi Rav. Rav Mordechai asked Rav, how about if you've got a column in the middle of Rishut Rabbi? It's Gavoa Asara. It's Roch of Arba. Okay? That's Rishut Hayachid? Yes, indeed. Now, Zorik V'Noch Al Gabav, you take a ball and you throw it to land on top of that Amud. Ma. Mi Aminan Hare Akira B'Yisro Hare Anacha B'Yisro. Do we say, look, you've got an Akira and a Hanacha B'Yisur, because when you start in Rishut Rabbi, you land in Rishut Hayachid, you should be Chayiv. Or do we say that in order for that ball to land on that Amud, it had to have gone above the Amud before landing on it? If it went above the Amud, that means it's making a landing from a Makom Ptur. The question is, are you chayev if you make a landing out of a Makom Ptur onto a Rishut HaYachid after having taken off from Rishut HaRabim? That's our question. Now, on the surface, this should not be a question at all, because we already spoke about Hamotzi Mechanut Leplatya Derek Sratya and so on, right? Sratya Derek Platya, we talked about that. And we said, if you're Motzi or you're Zorek, you would be Chayev. Why in the world don't we say that? You went through the Stau, into the Kikar. So that means you had to go from Rishut HaYachid, passing through a Makom Ptur, into a Rishut HaRabim. And we said, you're Chayev. It's exactly that case. There's many explanations in the Rishonim for why this might not be exactly that case. Tosis is pshat, and this is specifically why I talked to you about taking off and landing. Tosis is pshat is that there's a difference between taking off and landing and flying through. In other words, it's a fascinating idea. If I throw something up, when it falls, it's falling because what it is, the energy that I put into it to let it escape gravity, is over. It now falls because of its gravitational attraction, not because I threw it there. So therefore, what happened is, fascinating idea, what happens is you created a trajectory. It now falls, and that falling is falling out of a Rishut, which is a Makom Ptur. So Bishlema, if you impel it through a Makom Ptur, that indeed is Hamotzi Mechanut Leplatya Derech Stau. And there we said, Azorek is Chayim. But if you impart a trajectory which then allows gravity to pull it down from a Makom Ptur, why would that necessarily be the same as the case of Zorek through? This is Rav Porat's idea in Tosfos. Fascinating way of looking at it.
So gravity is like a Shutaf to...
Yeah, in other words, this is called koach kocho. When you put something into a position in which it is then guaranteed to land in a particular way because of simple physics, but it does no longer requires the energy of your, the current energy that you put into it, that's called koach kocho. If it still is directly expressive of your energy, that's called kocho. There's many, many nafkaminas between kocho and koach kocho. Koach kocho essentially is the Gemara's description of potential energy. So because I raised this particular level, the energy that was imparted into it is now going to be expressed in its form, correct? That's koach kocho. How do I know that you're chayav on koach kocho? In the case of Amotzi, Mechanut Leplatya Derech Stau, that comes along. That's my question, says Rav Mordechai. That brilliant. That was my brilliant. Others learn that the Gemara could have brought a riot from the Braita before of Hamotzi Mechanut Leplatya Derech Stau, but Rav Mordechai hadn't heard that Braita, and we don't want to use a Braita because we think that it's a Mishnah. So we go directly to the Mishnah. And there's many other fascinating approaches as to how this could work or why it would be different, but let's be satisfied with those two.
Yeah, I mean, every time you throw this carbon, the arbo is going to slope. Every time you do that, you're counting out the down as much as the up.
Okay, but we don't usually come out of a Makom Ptur. That could be. Usually, it's irrelevant to us. But over here, it's coming from a makom tov. Or Barley. So Rava said to him, what's your problem, man? I mean, that's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah. It says right here, Hanotel mehem, Hanotel agaban chayav. Now you tell me how you could put something down on a stone which is 10 tefachim high without coming from the top of the stone. So I understand what you're asking. You don't know how to read? So if Mordechai said, ah, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, he went and he asked Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says to him, I understand, isn't that a Mishnah? Oh no, not another one of these guys. So he goes and he asks Abaya. Also shouted Abaya. Abaya says to him, isn't that a Mishnah? He says, you guys all learn to spit in the same place. What's your kukukarukada dadi tafito? I mean, like that. It was enough one guy spat on this thing. I don't need three of you. What does this have to do with the Mishnah? Omrulay says, I understand. Well, Adlos Tizbra, you don't think it's a Mishnah? Read the Mishnah. Hanotain, vahanotel mehen. Notain avatan, hanotel mehen, vahanotain agaman chayav. Omarlay, no, wait a minute. The Mishnah might be talking about a needle. A needle, it's still three-dimensional. What's the matter with you? You have your little medallion port. I mean, look, I don't care how thin it is. I mean, we ain't talking about flatland. What are you talking about, a theoretical line? Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about something that extends in three dimensions. If it extends in three dimensions, something has got to be in the Mokum Torah. I don't care how thin you make it, but it's got to get up there in order to land. Yeah. Well, no, it may very well be the Idle Mursha. Look, it's a stone. The case in the Mishnah is a rock. The rock is at the flat, perfectly flat top. Doesn't a stone have like a little edge maybe that comes down at an angle? So that edge would still constitute part of the stone, which is Rishus HaYochid. As now let's break down this into a strobe lit motion. Needle is approaching the edge of the rock. It comes right across the landing area, which is that part that's extending downward into the area of the Rishus HaRabim. Lands right on that Mursha. It's now inside the airspace of the Rishus HaYochid. Continues on to a perfect stop in front of the terminal, which is on top of the stop. Perfect. But it never came, never landed from no Malcolm Tour. It landed right on the edge. So maybe that was the case. I mean, I asked you about an Amud, and you bring me a Ryan from a Sela. Maybe that's why it talks about a Sela, not an Amud. And you know what else is characteristic of Selaim? Cracks. So here we're talking about a needle, and it's being piloted by remote control directly into that crack, comes into the crack, and comes up and lands on top. But when it's in the crack, it's inside of a Rishus HaYochid. And maybe that's why it talks about a Sela, is to avoid the problem of the Makom Tur. Now I'm asking you, what about if it's an Amud? Inami de Rami of a Charitza, so it goes straight through a crack in the rock. Boy.
Couldn't understand what they didn't understand.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Amr Rav Misha. Boy Rabbi Yochanan, Kotel Brushut Rabin Gavoa Asara V'Inu Rachav Arba. Now that you're talking about the incorporation of the area that's making the Chulias HaBor with the area of the Bor itself into one Rishos, I have another fascinating question to ask. What's the din of the area that makes a different area to the Rishos? You got a wall. The wall itself is 10 tefachim high, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. It's a wall. So in and of itself, it would be a Malkum Ptur. Initially, it's a wall that is built around a carmelit. And if it's built around a carmelit, so it clearly a carmelit doesn't have any dinim that should turn the wall into Rishus HaYochid. I mean, that's not our question. And then you went ahead and you turned it into Rishus HaYochid. At this point, how do I look at it? I take something and I throw it on top of the wall. Now, I could say, in throwing it on top of the wall, I threw it onto a Makom Ptur. Because Miyamin Kimedeinu Makom Rachav Arbat, a Makom Ptur. Or do I say, now wait. This wall defines the Rishus HaYochid beyond the wall. So, I mean, it couldn't define Rishut HaYachid without itself becoming part of the structure that it's defining. Well, we're going to separate now the wall from its own construct? So maybe we should say, Kivan da'asol Rishut HaYachid, command amali damya. Basically, Rishut HaYachid, we can view it as being filled with Rishut HaYachid ether. And that includes the wall itself. So we have one solid Rishut HaYachid for all intents and purposes. Why should we, what's the difference to us if there's a hole in the middle? And if the Rishut HaYachid extended upwards and we could no longer discern the wall from the Rishut HaYachid, once I make Rishut HaYachid, it extends upwards anyway. So what's the meaning of the wall as a separate entity? Therefore, in defining the Rishut HaYachid, it becomes part of the Rishut HaYachid. Whereas before, when it was a carmelite, you're right, a carmelite, first of all, is not mali, it doesn't extend upwards. We said before, don't talk to me about a carmelite l'mala mi'asara. There's nothing above 10 that's going to have any din of rishus when it comes to carmelite. But the moment you turned it into Rishut HaYachid, now you created a problem. Or Marula says, Ula, well, I mean, listen, from a moral point of view, I mean, if it's a kal v'chomer, if it makes a mechitza for others, it should at least be able to make a mechitza for itself. Of course, we could have turned around and said, look, the Chanina B'daisa was mazim kol ha'ilam kulo for himself. It was dailo b'kav charuvim. But apparently the Gemara doesn't really think this is a moral issue. So in other words, in defining that space, it itself has to at least be part of what its own definition is. So how could it be that it shouldn't be a Rishut HaYachid? Itmarnam yom rabkiya barashi yom barav, b'chinom rab yitzchak yom rab yochanan, indeed, a kotel, Rishut Rabbin, gavur asarab in rachav arba'a, and now it's only mukaf l'karmelit. Because when you build a kotel in Rishut HaRabim and you surround an area which is not made for inhabitation, it's more than two beit sa'atayim, it does not create a Rishut HaYachid, it creates a karmel. Now, when you turn it into Rishut HaYachid, at that moment, azorek v'nach ha'gabav chayav. Why? Li'acherim osem mechitza la'atzmo lo kol shekein. That's exactly what Ula was saying. All right, gentlemen, it's been a tough day, and we're still exactly as far behind as we were yesterday. But at least we didn't fall further behind. And at least Dr. Spolsky was able to stay to the end. Ah, yeah, we're going to have to work out our schedule. We got a double problem this week. We can't learn Moshe Shabbat.
The basic principles, of course.
Of course, it's like nature.
But the mistake is that people take the principle staying the same, and they want to apply it to stay in a stuff you need to do.
Okay, let's start from where were the two dots. Habriach HaTichon, maybe? On the Tzadik Chesamid base. Habriach HaTichon B'tov HaKrashim Tana B'nei Saya Omid. Bet HaMishkan Taseh Siriyot Orach HaYriyah Chat Shmona V'Yatsim Be'ama Shti Urchayo Lufuti D'Mishkan Kama Havoi Esmits money. Adal Esla Ibra Pashu Tisha, Lahagis of Tisha Lahagis, Provida Megal Yam Dadonim, from Nathemi Megal Yam the Crush. Shtipu Tayo Ruth Labishkin, Kanahavi Arboin, Tal Latin, the Igra, Pashala Sor, the Rabbina Mathasi Amadadonim, and Nathemi Yam Amadadonim. Vyasiti Yriotti Zimla oil, Orafe Ria Kachlo Shimbama, Shti or Kailu put to the Mishkin Kamavit Latin. Dal Esla Igra, Pashu Esla Gis Vesla Gis. Rav Yehuda, now it's Mechas Yamadadonim. Rav Nechemya, it only gets up to Yadonim, Megal Yamadadonim. Tanya Ami Archi, Ve'ama Mizev, Ama Mizev, Odeh, Lechasot Ama Shel Adonim. Liv Rav Yehuda, Rav Nechemya, Lechasot Ama Shel Krashim. Okay, now Shtipu Tayelu Urchi, the Mishkan Kamahavi, Arba In Varba. Dal Tlatin Le'igra, Pashlo Arba Asre. Dal Tarte Le'kafla, Dekhtiv Ve'kafalta Tayiriya, Shishita Mubnei Oil. Partial tartis, right? So Bishra and Rabbi Yehuda Hainer Dekit Chatsiya Yiriyahu Defet Yisrach. El Rem Nechemya, it's not, it's only one Abba, Night Yisrach. Yisrach Lechav Roteha. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmo. Lomar Mishkan Dume, Yisha Shemahalachet Beshuk, Vishipoleo Mehalchin Achareha. Tana Rabbana, Charutzim Hayu Krashim, Vechalulim Hayu Haadamim, Vinir'in Krasim, Belulaot, Kekochavim Meberakia. Tan Rabbana, Yiriyot HaTachtonot Shel Tchelet B'Shal HaGaman B'Shutal HaShani V'Shal Shesh Elyonot Shem Aseizim U'Gdola Kochma Shneemra Be'Elyonot יותר ממה שנאמרה בתחתונות. דילו בתחתונות, כתיבה כל אישה חוכמת לב וידי התאבו. ואילו בעליונה, כתיבה כל אנשים שנעשה ליבנו תנה בחוכמת תאבו את האיזים. בצעני משום למלכן ישתוף באיזים ותבוי מן האיזים. שתי גזוס אור מרבב משום להביחיה, הגלות תחתיהם ביניהם צידי משות רבים. אומר הבאי, בין הגלה להגלה כמלוא אורך הגלה. כמה אורך הגלה? 500. למה לי בארבעה פלגסגי? כי אפילו לי קרבו קרשים. אומר רובד, צידי הגלה כמו לרוחב הגלה. כמה רוחב הגלה? שתי עמות המרץ. למה לי? ואמתו פלגסגיה? כי אפילו לי קרבו קרשים. אלא זה קיים לנדר פשוט רבים 16 עמה, ענן לגמרין עליהם במשכן, למשכן 15 עמה. אמתי יותר אהב עדי אבי קוי בן לוי, זכי משטר תקרוש של אבי נקיפו. חוי הדבור ויעשה לה שנבוין עשרה ורוב בן ארבעה, נותן ימינות הנגבן חייב, וכל מכן פטור. למה לא ילמיסטי חוי הדבור ועשה לה? מסתי הבור ועשה לה. מסייב על רבי אוכלן, רבי אוכלן. בור וחוי עתה מצטרפים לעשרה. תני אמרתי בור בשביל רבים. עמוקה עשרה וחבה ארבעה, אין ממלאים ממנה בשבת, אלא אם כן עשו לה מפיצות גבוהה עשרה צמחים. אין שותין ממנה בשבת, אלא אם כן הכניס לראשו ורובו. ובור וחולייתה מצטרפים לעשרה. בור מן ערב מרדכי מרוב, עמוד ברשות הרבים. גבוה עשרה ורחבה ארבעה. וזרק ונח על גביו מהו. מאמרינן, הרי הכירה בישר, הרי הנחה בישר. עובדיו מקיבן במקום, ממקום פטור. כעס ילה, לא. אמר להם, מסליסני. אז הוא שאל לרב יוסף, אמר לי, מסניסני. אז הוא שאל לבאי, אמר לי, מסניסני. אמר לו, כוח ברוק את העדה לקפית. אמר לי, ואת לא תסברו, את זמן, הנותן מי המנותן אגבו בחייו. אמר לי, מסניסן, maybe במחד. So, מחד נמי, יש לו מדליה פורטה. Yes, but נקלי מורשה, no? Or, יודו רמיה בחריצה. אמר מיישה, בואי רב יוחנן, קוטו ברשת הרבים. גבוה עשרה ואינו רחב הבאה ומוקף לקרמת ועשאו לרשות היחיד וזוהר בנך אגב אמר מי עמיד הקימן דאינו רחב הרבאה מקום פטורם ודאו מקימן דעשאו לרשות היחיד כמעט דמה לדמי אמרו לו כאו וחומר לאחר ומעשה מחיצה לעצמו לרגושיקן עיר בלענו אמר פי הברשי אמר אף וכן אמר ביוחן אמר ביוחן אמר ביוחן קוטו בשביל גבוה עשרה ואינו רחב הרבאה ומוקף לקרמת And then he comes along the Asor Rishut HaYachid, Azorek V'nach HaGabav Chayad. La'acherim, Asim Mechitza, Latzman HaKoshikin.